proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
Hi, folks. John Potter, live and local, each and every Saturday, 9 to noon, in the guest seat. A local travel agent, senior Spectrum columnist, Gwen Duncan, who is, talk about a travel expert here in town. We invite your questions for Gwen. Things have changed in travel. And if you have questions, you have a trip coming up, or you want a recommendation, 884-9910, number to call for the next half hour. We're putting Gwen on early because her husband wants to go to garage sales. Yes. You were set for 11 or 10:20, so, but he's waiting. So let's get through this. There's a lot to talk about. A lot of it is not good. Gwen, first off, hello.
Hello. This is good to see you, John.
It's great to see you. I love your column in Senior Spectrum magazine. All right. You're breaking my heart talking about the new news about Mexico. I love Mexico. I even wanted to retire there. I had a plan to retire in Mexico. My first beautiful trip was to Acapulco in 1981. And I thought it was heaven. It was a beautiful paradise. I had a wonderful 5 days in Acapulco in 1981. And my wife, now we have time to travel. And I said, oh, honey, I want to take you to Acapulco and show you such beauty and paradise out there. And I go online to look for a nice hotel. The El Presidente is where the Princess Hotel. That's where I stayed at last time, 1981, folks. And all the hotels are all pesos, which is a bad sign. They don't, Americans don't go there anymore. So you can't get the dollar amount on any of these hotel websites in Acapulco because now it's a resort for Mexicans. And why are Americans not going to Acapulco?
Actually, that's not the only destination, but Acapulco's had some real problems. And just this last weekend, I had mentioned to you before the show, there were 12 people who were murdered, but that's common there. But 12 people were murdered. They found them in different areas, but it's two cartels that were having a big pee-pee match.
But you were telling me these people were murdered for no reason. This wasn't a kidnapping thing or anything like that.
No.
It's
taxi cab drivers. I was there. It was after you were there, but mm-hmm. Taxi cab drivers, there were 10 or 12 of them who were killed all on the same night, and even their passengers were killed. And this made the news. And, of course, as the travel agent, we get announcements on things that are going on in different countries, and Mexico is certainly one.
So I know the gangs invaded Acapulco, but now you're telling me to not go to Cabo. What's going on in Cabo?
Cabo. I wish I would have brought the whole list of things that have happened there, but just last March. It was last March. There were two people from Australia, one from the United States, that were just surfing. No reason that it was. They were just enjoying themselves. They had a rented car, and then they went missing. The family couldn't find
Americans?
One American and two Australians.
Okay.
And they were this is just one example. And they found them burned. I mean, they found them buried. They found their car, the rental car, all dismantled and everything. And this was in Cabo. In Cabo, this is over near where the marina is and everything, and actually Cabo San Lucas. So, and it's a sad thing. I got a call from a young lady who wanted to have a destination wedding there, and she had 80 people who wanted to go, and obviously that's a good booking. I would look forward to that. But then when she picked Mexico, I looked to see if Acapulco was, I mean, if Cabo was okay, because Estapa had problems, Zihuatanejo had problems, Acapulco had problems, Mazatlan did, and I was accosted in Mazatlan. So I wanted, and then Laredo, fishermen are going missing. They, you know, there'll be a group of 20 people, and then there's somebody missing, and they never find them. So, I mean, that kind of stuff. But for this wedding, I thought, well, I better do some homework to see, you know, how are things in Cabo? And I found from January until about April this year, there were all kinds of things happening. And this one, of course, made the news, the big news, you know, international news. A lot of stuff isn't being reported, but we're hearing about it.
Oh, I know. Listen, I worked in news media. You'd be shocked, folks, what does not get reported.
But I hate saying that because love Mexico, too. I like the music,
the people are wonderful.
The food and the prices.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my plans to retire in Mexico, I was dissuaded from that because I heard that if you're an American who retires in Mexico, you pay triple for everything.
Oh, I mean, that probably is true. That I haven't researched that.
I mean, if you're American and they know it, you pay triple, whatever the price is.
I know people who built homes there and had issues.
Well, this shocks me about Cabo and everything because these are multi-million dollar hotels there right on the beach and everything. And this flagrant crime is happening on the beach in taxi cabs. Let me just ask, what is the one place an American can go to Mexico safely? That bad?
Yes. Well, let me tell you something. And I wrote about this. Ron and I were on a cruise ship, and we went to several of these destinations, and one of them was Mazatlan. And we don't do the shore excursions. We walked around, and everything was boarded up. This was in 2012, I think, 2012. And there was a lot of people wanting to go to Mexico, but we knew they were having issues even back then. And I wanted to show that it's safe. So I went there so I could report to my clients that I can't say it's great. Anything can happen to anybody. But I wanted to show them. And so I go, and everything was boarded up. All of these restaurants were boarded up, and the hotels were boarded up. And I talked to the owners and people who were around, and they just thanked us so much for being there, and please send people here and all this. The taxi cab drivers were so happy. And then that's when I got accosted on the way back to the ship. And from that minute on, I have to tell people that. And so I can't tell you where is a safe place in Mexico right now.
Really? You can't?
No.
Tell me about, I hate to be, we're not going to be totally negative here, folks.
No, I want to be positive.
Now it got me curious. How were you accosted?
Well, my bad, I had a necklace on that my husband had given me, and it was a gold one, and I usually don't wear expensive stuff, but we were walking along the street, and a guy ran up behind me. I thought it was my husband putting his arm around me, but the guy grabbed my necklace, ripped it off of me, and then started running. My husband ran after him. That was bad enough, and I was emotionally in trauma because the necklace that Ron gave me, he gave me on our 25th wedding anniversary.
And this wasn't in an inner city or anything.
This was in Mazatlan, just before we got onto the ship after a day. But there was an employee from the ship that was also injured, but he was far more injured. I was emotionally injured. He was physically injured. Someone had cut his laptop. He'd carried a laptop to go to one of the Wi-Fi places, you know, and somebody had cut that off of his arm, but they hit his head in by accident, and he was bleeding profusely, and we helped him into the thing back to the ship, and we had to report it. It was just awful.
Sad to say, it breaks my heart, but scratch Mexico, folks, from your trips. And not just that, you say Mexico is getting a lot more strict with permits or passes or what's the deal there?
Yeah, now you have to have a passport. Of course, that started way back, you know. I mean, and if you're flying in, you have to have a passport. If you're driving in, you can do it with a passport card, a passport or a passport card. If you're on a cruise ship, sometimes, depending on where your stops are, they'll require it. But if you're going to enter passport, going to enter Mexico as a U.S. citizen, you have to complete a form. It's called an FMM, and it's a basically it's a tourist card.
This is new.
Yeah, it's relatively new. They're requiring it, and you have to. You have to have that on your person. Now, usually the airline will give it to you before you land, mm-hmm. or they'll give it to you at the airport so that you can enter. And it's good for 90 days, I think it is. You know, all the rules change. So anytime you're going to go to a foreign country, go to the international website, you know, for them and see any changes that they've
made. Can you easily download this form and just fill it out?
Yes. Actually, yeah. Well, okay. you could, but most of that stuff is done at point of entry, you know, with the airline or with the...
Sounds like you would need a travel agent like you. No, I'm serious, to do these things and to let people aware of this brand new requirement to go to Mexico now is the new form. For what reason?
That's not the only place. Huh? You know...
Okay.
So many of the countries... have tightened up things. Most of it is because it's reciprocatory. I don't know if I'm saying that word right, but
getting back at the U.S. for something the U.S. is doing. Okay.
Chile, when we went there, we got off the airplane and got on a bus and went straight to the port, you know, to get on a ship.
Yeah.
And we had to pay $150 to touch our feet into Chile.
All right, we got to take a break. Folks, is anybody thinking of heading to Europe? You thinking of going on a trip to Europe? You'll want to know about a new visa requirement to Europe. Also, news about a big airline travel scam that you really need to know about. We're here with Gwen Duncan, local travel agent and senior Spectrum columnist. Phone lines open for questions, 884-9910. We're going to get back with Gwen in just a couple of minutes. I'm John Potter on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1018.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
Hi, folks. Welcome back. John Potter, live and local with travel agent Gwen Duncan, a senior Spectrum columnist. You're probably thinking that first segment, yeah, it was pretty negative. And if you're thinking, hey, why are you bashing Mexico? Gwen takes responsibility for the clients that she sends on these trips. She has people who come to her home or office, and they say, I want to go to Mexico. And it's her duty to notify people who are thinking of going to Mexico about these problems out there with the crime and the tainted alcohol issue. And you take responsibility for this, because otherwise, if you don't tell people this, they could what? Sue you?
Come back to
it. Okay. So, all right. Enough about Mexico. Let's get quickly to the stuff people need to know. Let's go to Europe. Okay. What is this new visa requirement for going to Europe now?
It's called an ETIAS. It can be done online. It only costs $7. So, I mean, that's all pretty good stuff. The bad stuff is that you even have to get one. And it's supposed to be representative of every country that you're going to go to. And it covers 30 countries. So, I mean, so if you're on a riverboat, you know, how's that going to affect you? Well, if you're under 18 or over 70, it's free. That's another good thing. The bad thing is we have to do it. But it was supposed to have been implemented this year, and they've run into some glitches. And
what's the
designing
purpose?
The website.
Is this a money grab?
No. It's just, you know, I told you, reciprocatory. You know, when we're making stricter requirements for people to come, well, yeah, right, with the open border, yeah, give me a break. But anyway.
You're speaking our language now.
Yeah, but we require people to bring a pat, well.
Yeah.
With a mass you know, exception.
So, okay, this new visa requirement, can you get that easily online?
Easily online.
Send your
you
money.
You should be able to get a response right away up until 96 hours later. If you don't, then you got to find out. They may ask you for additional information, but it's pretty basic. The one that Australia has, you can get it within minutes of filling it out online. So it's a pretty easy process, but they've delayed it, and it's going to be effective for 2025.
Governments just cannot mind their own business. All right, airline travel scam. You're telling me that this is a big one.
This is a big one. Now, since 2001, you know, the airlines were having a hard time, and then they've continued to have one, the cancellations and everything. And the cancellations are awful. You've probably heard about them. I don't care if it's a holiday, they're going to have one, you know, but they're having a lot of cancellations. And so what's happening is that has developed a whole new business in travel scammers. And what they're doing is they've set up phone numbers, fake phone numbers for customer service lines for the various airlines. And so
They spoof them. So they're calling people, and they have the airline's customer service phone number on your phone calling you, right?
No. What I'm saying is that you're standing in line at the airport, and they've canceled your flight. So you go and stand in this long line to try to, what are you going to do? Do you get another flight? Are they going to put you on another airline? You know, what are they going to do? And you got all this line of people, and the trick is to call the airline's customer service, and they will, you'll be ahead of all those people.
Well, how's the scam work?
If you've gone to the airline's official website and you go down to the official customer service, if you just go on and you're saying, okay, I just want customer service Delta, let's say, or customer service.
Oh, I see.
So you do a search. You're standing in line. You do a search, and you see one, and you call that number. You don't look at the URL to see that, is it really Delta or is it really United? So they've developed these fake customer service numbers.
Do these scam links show up on Google, you're saying?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, and there's a ton of them. So people will call that number, and they make they think they're getting a corrected ticket, and they'll say things that are really odd. A couple of the tells I. Usually when there's a canceled flight, you're going to get replaced, and it's not going to cost you. You know what I mean? But these scammers, they'll be charging. They'll want personal information. And
so what you want to do is go to the airline's website and click their customer service.
And you want to make sure, yes,
okay,
their customer service number. Sometimes, and if they'll get your email addresses or somehow, you'll be sent a thing after you've booked an airline. Maybe you've done it on an offsite. You didn't go to American or anything. You went to some cheaper ticket type outlet, and you bought your ticket. Within minutes of having paid for it, you'll receive a phone call or an email that'll say, I'm sorry, there was an error. There's an upcharge on the cost of your ticket, and they'll ask you for your credit card approval to do the upsell. Or they'll tell you that it's canceled and you have to replace the ticket, and they'll get your information. And then you go to the airport, and the airline doesn't know anything about your ticket.
All right. We have a texted question, 884-9910. Gwen, what is up with Real ID lately, and how is that going to affect travel? What's the latest? Now, they're going to require Real ID now to travel to other countries?
Well, you're going to need it just to get on an airplane if you don't have a passport. And that's for the United States. If you're traveling in the United States, the Real ID is...
So we'll say just travel generally on a plane, you're going to need Real ID.
Real ID in the United States. If you're going out of the country, you need the passport.
Okay, gotcha.
What's
the deal with Real ID? It keeps getting put off, right?
Yes, it keeps getting put off.
Government,
But right now, in fact, that's an interesting question, because I've tried to get my Real ID a couple of times, and I go in with all these documents and stuff, and they'll say, oh, you're missing this one. So, you know, if you can come in with this other piece of thing, you know. So anyway, what I did was I had a California driver's license, and it was due for me to get my renewal. And so I decided, screw it, I'm going to get one in Nevada. And so I went through and I found out all that you needed for it. You need two identifications that you've got, like utility bills or something, with your name on it. You have the address and a 1099 or a W-9 that shows your real Social Security number. And so I mean, you need all of this. And then, of course, your old thing. So I went in and I decided, oh, my heavens, I'm going to Nevada. And I've already taken my driver's test in California, but do I need to do a test? And I'd understood I needed a test. So I bought all the money to go, because I was going to get that ID, the real ID, no matter what.
You're making me dreading this whole thing.
No, and I go in, and they gave me my temporary everything. And I said, but I didn't ask him about what the test was. Here's your ID.
Just
and I
grab
walked
it
out of there
run.
Without having to take a test.
Just grab it and run.
Yeah, just grab it. But you do need some documentation. If you're here in Nevada, you can look it up on the site. It's really easy. But I had to go dig up a 1099 and stuff. And
fascinating. Well, okay, I got a thing to mention. I'm an Amtrak guy. I love Amtrak. I know there are not many of us. But the Amtrak, that just came out in the news yesterday, they are changing their ad campaign. Oh. Wait a minute, they have ads? I've never seen an Amtrak ad. They're changing their image from a transportation company to a hotel image, Amtrak.
Well, Amtrak, they have a division, it's called Amtrak Vacations.
Okay. Well, they're really pushing that. And I'm saying, if they're going to promote this as a mobile hotel, gosh darn, clean your frickin' windows. Clean the frickin' windows.
Oh, yeah.
Because people take the train for the views, and they're constantly, they're a mess, and maybe you should clean the bathrooms while you're at it. Unbelievable.
I know. Some of them are really, really nice. And then there's some rail...
Slums out there. I mean, sometimes on the California one, that's very nice. I love Amtrak. I really do. But so many things can spoil it.
Yeah.
You know, you get the sleeper car that you pay $2,000 for, and the toilet just smells like to high heaven. The windows are dirty. The service is just, sometimes you'll hit some bad attitudes there.
Have you been on one in Europe?
To compare, it's shameful, really. To Canada, Canada trains and how spotless they are in the service and the food. And now they're cutting back on the food with Amtrak, and they're having these prepackaged deli 7-Eleven type meals.
Well, Canada's got it down. Vancouver to Montreal stuff, and they allow you to go, and you can stop, and you stay at a hotel, and then you grab the next train, you know, going. And they stay in Fairmont hotels. I mean, it's
very nice. Okay, nice. Before you go, what's your next trip? Where do you want to go next?
What
do you recommend?
I'm leaving Friday.
Yeah,
I'm leaving Friday. I'm going to go Barcelona to Athens and turning around and going back on the same ship, but stopping at different places.
I ask people all the time, what was your favorite country to go? I hear Spain a lot.
Spain is really nice, and it's changed. The last time we went there, what was really fun about going to Spain was going into the bars. Well, I mean, the pubs or whatever you want to call them. Mm-hmm. And they had what's called tapas. You buy a drink and you get a free thing, you know, like olives or something like that. Now those are extra. You have to pay extra for those things.
Well, they kept the character, though. I keep hearing bad stuff about Paris. Paris is not anymore.
I've changed my mind about Paris. So I've been there about 14 times. Ron and I took groups. And at the very beginning, Americans were treated like pieces of crap. We were the last one seated at the restaurant. It was awful.
That is
but
so freaking rude after what we did saving that country in World War II. How soon they forget.
But that's just in Paris. Outside of Paris, it's wonderful.
Great.
But the people, I mean, then we happened on a taxi cab driver that loved Paris, and he says, the sleep, you know, the trees have to sleep, and so he turns his lights off and drives us through because it's a city of lights. So I mean, there are other lights on, and he goes driving without his lights on, showing us Paris. He was so proud of the country. There are some very good people there.
Well, your husband wants to go to the garage sales, So we got to cut it short. You're a gem to talk with about travel.
It's just fun.
I love talking restaurants and travel more than anything else. Gwen, thank you so much. Gwen Duncan, if folks want to plan a trip with you, how do they contact you?
Oh, well, my phone is 530-417-0460. My email is really easy, gwen@gwenduncan.com. Duncan spelled D-U-N-C-A-N. And then I've got my website, which is Cordially Yours Travel.
CordiallyYoursTravel.com.
Yeah, my maiden name is Cordial.
All right, go get some bargains at the garage sales. Thank you, Gwen. Good seeing you again. I'm John Potter. Let's break for Fox News. I'm going to be back, and it's just me and you. 884-9910 to talk with on the phone with me. I'll be gracious and honored to speak with you. Okay, be right back. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1034.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
It scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk True.
Welcome back, my friends. Welcome back. Good to be with you. John Potter, live and local. It's 1040. And we're welcoming your calls as always, 884-9910, number to call. Checking the news. Oh, this is news. I got the very last package of Charmin at Costco this week. I'm sorry, folks. If you haven't been to Costco or Sam's Club or even Walmart in Northern Nevada, lately, a surprising number of shelves are still empty. No, the burners didn't come back. Especially the paper products in the water until they can be resupplied after the dock workers went on strike. Now, they are back to work. Thursday, the Dock Workers Union, which represents 45,000 workers, reached a tentative, that's a so-far-so-good agreement, on wages and automation. That's a big issue with them. They don't want the machines to take over their jobs, of course. And so the dock workers, the union, they're going to keep working until January 15th while they return to the bargaining table to negotiate all the other outstanding things that they want in their new contract, like the use of automation. They really hate the automation, and they are trying to stop it from taking their jobs. Good luck with that. Industry evolves as technology changes for the better or worse. That's just a fact of life now. But the U.S. is behind when it comes to automation at the ports. A lot of 1970s technology we have, except for the West Coast, thankfully for us. I don't remember this, but I was told by a new resident, his home state in California went automated and fired over 6,000 dock workers at 62 piers years ago. So Reno still gets supplies. And about this automation, I guarantee you this tentative agreement where they go back on the job for 3 months, I would bet dollars to donuts. The companies are on the phone right now to Japan, ordering every robot they can before the 3 months is up. What do you think? But anyway, the other countries, you know, like Australia, they're automated. South Korea, China, same thing. But this strike closed 36 ports from Maine to Texas. It quickly hurt business as the U.S. imports business. We import bananas, car parts, cotton, wood, many other goods through these ports. And you know what? The farmers need the ports, too, to send their goods the other way to the other countries, imports and exports. For our economy, these are choke points to our economy where these things have to pass. I imagine you heard that the West Coast longshoremen workers, they're not affected by this strike. It's mainly Eastern folks. But the longshoremen, they average about $55 an hour. Biden, from the beginning, said he would not use a federal labor law like Reagan did to force strikers back to work because you got to get the union vote, right? You know, I would have issued that executive order for sure to get back to work. It's an essential job. They are all back to work until January 15th at least. The union also demands more union demands. Okay, they demand that Starbucks milk live cows and almonds at each location and not mass produce their milk, because milking jobs, folks, are good jobs. And yesterday, oh my goodness, they demanded that the chip maker NVIDIA place an I in between the N and the V. It's not even their domain. I'm kidding, of course. God bless them. I just hope that they think about some of the rest of us in addition to themselves. Even if a new deal is done for the next 6 years, Americans are going to pay. Our imports and exports are going to cost more to pay for. Higher port costs, of course. The previous average dock worker wage, $55 an hour, and the top 20% of union longshoremen have been making an average of $250,000 or more a year. The president of the union, that's at East Coast fella, who says things like, "We're going to break you." He makes $900,000 a year. Everything's even more now since the tentative agreement. It's now $63 an hour average for the longshoremen, which means for export or imports, our products will now be less competitive than we sell, and the products will be more expensive at the store that we buy. So it's hard for me to see this as a win-win. On to other things. What else here? Is that a call, Phil? It's
yes, it is.
It's green. I guess I'm used to yellow. Okay. Let's talk to Tom. Tom is calling in from Reno. Hey, Tom. Glad you called in. I'm glad you called. Good morning. Go ahead.
Good morning, John. Thank you for allowing me to speak today. I'm calling in regarding the interview you did last week with Greg Kidd.
Yes, yes. That was a good one.
Yeah, it was a good one, and my blood was boiling, and I couldn't find your phone number, and I wanted to call in something fierce.
It was a great interview until he said who he was going to vote for president. Then the walls just fell apart.
Well, the actually before that is what I have an exception with. It's kind of my pet peeve. I'm a retired farmer, semi-retired, mm-hmm. I expect, but we've been fortunate in Reno here to have purchased property many, many years ago, and it's gone up in appreciation quite a bit. And one of the protections yes. we have is the property tax structure that we have here in Nevada. Kind of protects us old guys like us senior citizens from our taxes going up so high we have to pay sell our houses to pay for the taxes. So,
well, Greg Kidd,
he wanted to change all that.
Right. He said it's not fair. That the people who buy the new homes have to pay a much higher tax than the people who have the older homes where they can depreciate the value of their homes. So he wants the taxes to be based on the market value of homes, which terrifies me because we know what the value where that's been going for the past 5-10 years. You know what I'm saying?
Well, in addition, he said, you asked him a good question. Well, isn't that going to raise the taxes? And he said, no. And, well, why do it then? He wants more money, so it doesn't. Yeah. He was speaking out of both sides of his mouth. But he came from California, where they have the protection of Proposition 13. And why doesn't he go back there? And this is our little bit of protection here for us senior citizens and people that stay in their homes.
Maybe I wasn't strong enough when I voiced opposition to that, but you did it very well. I appreciate that, Tom.
The legislature is going to be coming in to meet again this next year.
No!
And every year they try to overturn that, and I call and I raise Cain about it, and almost all of the people in support of changing it are on the government trough. Sure. You know, they're non...
Yeah, well, you know, we get newcomers who come here and say, wow, your legislature only meets every 2 years. It's got to be every year, like the state I came from. No, we don't want that because it more than 50% of what they do there is no good. We don't want them.
Well, that's why they came here.
We don't want them messing around with our lives here. Less government, better. I think it should be every 3 years, but that's just me, I guess. Tom, I got to go.
You know, California.
Thank you Right. Thanks for the call, my friend. Have a good day. Take a break here. I'm John Potter. Open topic from now to noon, especially local stuff. Would love to hear you. I'd be honored to take your call. 884-9910 or text anything. And Phil in Carson City will read those off like we usually do with Craig. Okay, going to take a break. Be back in a few minutes. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 1049.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
John Potter, live and local. Unsigned text to the radio station this week. Hey, John Potter. KKFT should also be reminding listeners to vote Republican down ballot. Very important. Also, Reno needs a public works crew to clean up all the deposits of trash and carts left by the a-holes on the street. Disgusting look to our once clean city. Thank you. I'll be listening. As always, we take texts, 884-9910. Speaking of the voting down ticket, whatever, there were a lot of polls this week put out by the news media asking who won the vice presidential debate. And honestly, the way things are, I think these polls are asking people, the ones asking who won are really asking, which party do you belong to? But Tuesday night, ask me who won, and I'll tell you, America won, because J.D. Vance and Tim Walz reminded us that we could be passionate and polite, that our disagreements could be civil, that our politicians could be intelligent, that our politics could be patriotic. It was, to me, just a reminder of how things used to be and of deep down who we really are. I think both men showed that philosophical disagreement can be friendly and cordial. It was almost a relief, like the burden of this contention was temporarily lifted from the nation's shoulders, you know, like the grown-ups were back in charge. And J.D. Vance was brilliant. I mean, glow-in-the-dark brilliant. Thoughtful, knowledgeable, unwavering, never at a loss for either facts or words. And I thought it was pretty funny how he kept giving those looks to the camera when Tim Walz was speaking, the kind of looks that Jim gives the camera on The Office. Same thing. But he was an intelligent man explaining what he believed and why and what his ticket would do if it was elected. He expressed courtesy and admiration for people with whom he disagreed. He was never rude to either his opponent or the moderators. He was humble, self-deprecating in regard to himself and his party, and he was right. He held up his party's principles. He invited the nation to embrace them. And he held Kamala Harris to account without exposing her to disrespect. There was no ridicule, no mockery, but there was accountability and the clear vision of the Republican Party on its best days. And I thought Tim Walz did well. He started the match. He's holding a weaker hand as he had to defend the past 4 years. He was clearly stressed sometimes because it can't be easy defending the Biden-Harris record, but he represented himself and his party in, I thought, a fine, dignified, and honorable way. He did not give the worst performance. I'll tell you who did that when I have time. But how many people watched that debate and halfway through said, I wish these two were running for president, right? I said that to my wife, and I thought I was the only one when we were watching this, and then I talked to friends the next day, and they told me, I said the exact same thing. Why can't they be running for president? I think Walz is smarter than Harris. I think Vance is smarter than Trump. Although being smart, listen, it's not the one and only when it comes to leadership, but I'd much prefer President J.D. Vance. He did well, presenting himself and his platform in a good light, and members of his party should be proud of him. Both were a credit to their campaigns. Donald Trump and Kamala Harris did a good job in their selection of running mates. Okay, here's where the real embarrassments were. I think the lone embarrassments of the night sat behind the moderator's desk. CBS was terrible. The two CBS interrogators were so biased, so in the bag for the Democrat Party. It was between laughable and contemptible. ABC, they were slanted toward the Democrats in the presidential debate, and CBS, I think CBS outdid them. Really, the topics and the questions almost exclusively highlighted Democrat strengths and Republican weaknesses, and the questions to Vance, they were kind of mocking, and they repeatedly argued against him as if they were taking part in the debate. Yes, it was 3-1 all over again, but Vance didn't take the bait. He was a gentleman throughout, and so was Tim Walz. And I think Republicans and Democrats should both be pleased and encouraged by that. In front of a large national audience, both parties put their best foot forward and were represented by gentlemen who could, with sincerity, shake hands as colleagues when the evening was done. And as an American, I was grateful of that reminder, to see that, of the civility and the competence, and I deeply hope that this example is followed by others. News media commentators criticized both men for failing to draw blood. Why? It's because division gives power to the press. They need it for ratings, which translates to money. The news media wants conflict and drama. It gives them power, too. Civility gives power to us, the people. And I hope the dark spirit, which has dominated politics of late, can be extinguished. And I hope we have more of what we had on Tuesday night. Okay, I'm going to shut up. Time for news. I'm John Potter, back for another hour. 884-9910, number to call.